Hey, this is Dave with Screen Geeks Radio. I have the honor and privilege of sitting down with the director of Splice, Vincenzo Natali. Did I say that right?
You said it perfectly.
Perfect. Yeah. Glory. How are you doing, sir?
I'm very well.
Good. I'm curious, do you do many conventions, or is this the first one you've been to in a while? Or?
I've done a few, yeah, over the years. And yeah, it's always a wonderful thing.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to get to Splice. I want to spend a vast majority of the time talking about Splice, but I owe you an apology, sir. I didn't know that Cube was on my list of shame of movies I hadn't seen until I watched it this week. And
oh my goodness!
Yes, it's you talked to another guy who said he pointed at the guy. Yeah, that was me. But what really struck me about the film isn't so much the fact that it's a very great use of your budget, because it's a brilliant way to shoot a movie for cheap. But a movie is only as good as its concept. What was the concept for Cube around before you figure out how you're going to frame the actual story itself?
Oh, it absolutely began with the premise. I mean, it began with just the need to make a movie in one set.
Mm-hmm.
So there really was no... I wasn't being that clever. I actually really just thought, how can I make a movie in one set? And I thought, well, what if I... and still have some kind of dynamic movement to it, you know? And I thought, well, what if one set doubles as many? And that made me think, well, what if it's like a maze of identical rooms? And then that made me think, well, it's got to be a symmetrical maze, and therefore it's a cube, and it's a giant cube, et cetera, et cetera. So it really just came from, you know, the necessity is the mother of invention. It came from a pragmatic need. But at the same time, I have to admit, I thought this is really like one of the great ideas, because it's not really like anything I have seen before. And it's very much tied into, I think, you know, ancient mythology. The notion of the maze is just... been with us for thousands of years, and so it sort of had that funny combination of being something that felt new to me, but on the other hand, you know, felt kind of timeless. And I really felt like I felt more like an archaeologist than a writer. I felt like, okay, I had discovered something that already existed, and I was just exhuming it. And so it was, and I co-wrote it incidentally with two other writers. It was a really, really great process, but very hard. It was a hard movie to make.
Well, and the premise of using the one set and the effective use is a great hook, but really it's the story that really keeps people wanting more. Did you set out to make a movie that's going to play with people's conceptions of certain conventions and archetypes?
Yeah, absolutely. And in fact, you know, the other inspiration for the film was a great Alfred Hitchcock film, Lifeboat.
I love Lifeboat.
You know, when I saw that film, I realized that you could make a movie in a very confined space, mm-hmm, that is totally cinematic and totally engaging. And of course, I think John Steinbeck wrote Lifeboat. I hope I'm right in that. Anyway, it's a brilliant script, and what makes that film work are the characters. Mm-hmm. And the fact that you really never know what people are going to become in that situation. You know, who their true selves will only emerge in that kind of tense situation. In the case of Lifeboat, you know, it's a group of people who have their boat has been sunk by a U-boat during the Second World War, and they're stuck on this lifeboat with a Nazi. And it's just an extraordinary film. So I felt with Cube that it was a very similar kind of paradigm we were working with, and that in the process of telling the story and being with these characters, we would discover sides of them, aspects of them that aren't immediately apparent. Mm-hmm. And in fact, we had to, because there's really not much else to do in the film, you know, because we really just had this bare stage and six characters. So
it's almost like doing Rope. You know, it's essentially the movie takes place in one room. I mean, you had more flexibility, but
that's
confined
it. You know,
space.
I think it's a great lesson. You know, when you look at Alfred Hitchcock's career, in my opinion, his best films, generally, were the ones where he intentionally put restrictions on himself, like Psycho, like Rear Window is my favorite.
Yes.
Lifeboat, and I've consistently learned that in the, you know, my few years of doing this, that when you are confronted with a problem or a restriction, very often ends up helping the movie. And that the compromises that you make, especially if you're doing a low-budgeted film, very often force you to be more creative than you would be if you had unlimited resources. So I've kind of made that my mantra. It's frustrating, and I'm consistently irritated by it, because I always feel like I want to do more than I can. But at the end of the day, I have to admit that, you know, when you don't have a lot, you are forced to really rely on the things that don't cost a lot of money, which are character and story.
Mm-hmm.
And that's very true of Splice. Even though Splice is, you know, which is my new film, which is a considerably larger film, has a bigger budget and more special effects and so on, it fundamentally comes down to being about just a few characters and their relationship. And I think, hopefully, that's what makes the film special.
Very cool. Yeah, I was going to ask you, because I've talked to several independent filmmakers who say, you know, you can give me a $60 million budget or whatever, I'd rather have the smaller budget because it forces me to refine my craft. Is right. that kind of how you feel with it?
I'll take the $60
million. Well, yes.
Hand it over. Fair fork enough. It over. But no, but you're. I completely agree with that statement. Yeah, absolutely. I think it's just, you know, it's always about using the right tool for the right job. Like Lord of the Rings, you know, needed to cost a lot, needed a big budget. Although, I think it had a, you know, if you look at the ratio of what's on the screen versus what they had, it was probably not a lot of money.
You feel they filmed the three movies for that single budget, and yeah, they made that like, money stretch very far.
They really did. So there's no question in my mind, restrictions are a good thing. And, you know, given unlimited restrictions, I think that tendency, just being human, you know, it's human nature, is to do the easiest thing. Mm-hmm. And then you get something that's kind of banal, not very interesting.
You talk about the tools. I have to go here. 3D is a huge movement.
Right.
Some people are using it very effectively. I mean, there's no doubt that with Avatar, for example, it's a brilliant use of 3D.
Right.
On the other hand, you have people who have no business using it,
right,
or people who are doing 2D and converting it to 3D.
Right.
What's your kind of feeling on that whole?
I'm still not convinced. I mean, I think Avatar is amazing, and I think 3D, and I'm sure is the best 3D that's ever been done. But I'm still... First of all, I hate wearing the glasses. I have glasses, so I have to wear glasses on top of my glasses.
Yes.
So I'm still waiting for the technology where I can sit in a theater without any kind of material on my face and watch a 3D movie.
We need the holodeck.
We really need a holodeck. They didn't, you know, sign me in or like whatever it is, you know, the something to plug into my brainstem. But I'm still not really in love with the way we have to watch it. And then the other thing that happens, and I have to confess, is I sort of forget about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like the first 20 minutes are fantastic. Like I saw Alice in Wonderland, and I thought once we were in Wonderland, I was completely overwhelmed. It was such a sensorial overload. It was really amazing. But then after a while, I actually just got tired of it and then sort of forgot about it. So honestly, if I had to put my money on new technology or where film technology, I'd like film technology to go, it would be in high res formats.
Mm-hmm.
I heard that David Fincher is finishing his film in 4K, and it's going to be projected in 4K.
Nice.
I'm very interested to see what that looks like. I know that Chris Nolan, you know, shot parts of Inception in 65mm VistaVision. That's very interesting to me. I think my personal, and you know, it's always just a taste thing. My preference would be for 2D, high-resolution 2D imagery over 3D technology. Let's face it, again, I'm not knocking Avatar James Cameron because it's extraordinary work, but it kind of makes the image darker, and it just doesn't look as good, in my opinion.
I can agree with that. Well, you mentioned Alice in Wonderland. Before she gets to Wonderland, it's like ViewMaster 3D.
Right, yeah,
just
that's right.
And it's so frustrating.
You know, I think it's a completely different story with animated films,
oh,
by
absolutely.
The way.
You can get away with it. So you can re-render it. I mean, really, especially if you're doing it in CG.
You really are doing real 3D, and I think there's just something inherent about that kind of graphic world that is just somehow easier on the eyes than when we... Whenever, even in the James Cameron's 3D process, when I see live actors in a live set, it still doesn't feel like 3D to me.
Mm-hmm.
I still get a ViewMaster effect from it. And I don't know what the future will hold, but my personal preference is for, you know, really crisp 2D images.
Oh, yeah. For my money, District 9 did CG better because they brought a completely alien character and made you believe it was in our world.
Totally.
So,
totally.
Enough talking about other people. Let's talk some Splice here. Sorry about that. It's just fun to talk geeky stuff.
Right.
From what I've been reading about it, you kind of take a very practical approach to the filmmaking when it would be very easy to go CG.
Right.
Was that a conscious decision from the beginning?
Well, I mean, again, I had a limited budget, so... But I swear to God, even if I had unlimited money, I would never have done the characters a fully digital character throughout. There are moments in this film where she is fully digital, but only moments. And I really felt that in the case of this story, because it is very intimate and the emotions that are being expressed are actually quite subtle and complicated, that I was much better working with real actors,
mm-hmm.
albeit actors who have been augmented with prosthetics and digitally augmented. That was really the approach. And I think, frankly, the best digital effects usually start with something physical anyway.
Absolutely.
You know, and, but, I think every film has its own, you know, set of tools that are required. And I think with Avatar, for instance, I think it was tremendously successful. I think what they did was amazing. Mm-hmm. But I don't think that would have been the right approach for our film.
Absolutely. Now, I've read somewhere online that the film is rated R for pretty much every single category that the MPA could throw at you. There are some people who would say, well, we need to tone it down or whatever. It crosses me that you set out to make the movie you're going to make, and screw everyone else. You want to tell your story, and you're going to tell the story you want to.
Right.
Does going the independent route allow you more flexibility as opposed to?
I think so. I mean, you know, I've never made a studio film, so I haven't had that experience. But it was no question, no studio wanted to make the movie, so I didn't really have a choice. And I made the film as a Canada-France co-production. So I essentially made it with Final Cut. You know, I mean, because I had Final Cut, not with Final Cut Pro, the editing system. And I think it was the kind of movie that required that, because it does go into some sort of, you know, dangerous transgressive terrain. Mm-hmm. And that was the raison d'etre of the movie. I think if you took that part of it out of the film, you would be left with something that's a more traditional Frankenstein story, which frankly just wasn't, you know, as interesting to me. So I mean, the film has crazy stuff in it, I guess you could call it crazy.
That's fine. But if you don't challenge people's preconceived notions, then...
But that's what horror is supposed to do, right?
Exactly.
It's all totally about... That's what makes it special. It's a transgressive genre. And that's what you're allowed to... That's why, you know, it's hard to do a transgressive romantic comedy. Mm. But you can do... That's not acceptable generally. But people are more open-minded, strangely, more open-minded when it comes to horror.
Now, I know that you wrote and directed this film. I know it causes a lot of heartache, a lot of sleepless nights having to go through and edit right. and direct and everything. But does that freedom and control over your own work and your own love, would you ever consider working on someone else's material, or do you prefer to work on your own?
No. I'm a magpie. I'd take, you know, whatever I can get. It just has to connect with me, you know.
Okay.
Because making a film, as you said, making a film is really, it's really hard. I don't care what anyone says. It's a lot of work. And it would be hard. I think it would be very difficult to put that much energy into something that, you know, I didn't have a personal connection with. That it didn't excite me, you mm-hmm. know. It would be hard to do it just as a job. But I mean, I have, you know, there's a couple of things I'm working on are adaptations.
I'm not going to ask about the one everyone else has asked about. It's all good. I think the swamp thing rumor has been sufficiently squashed.
Today. Right. Unfortunately.
Yeah. Well, there's time.
There's time. There's time.
I would love that if that would happen.
There's time.
But the film comes out on June 4th.
Yes.
Smart people will ignore Marmaduke if they have half a brain and go see this instead, I think, just from the first trailer.
Well, you know, there's room. I'm sure there's room for everybody out there. But yes, if you're in the mood for transgressive horror creature movie, then Splice is your baby.
And who wouldn't be? Come on.
Yeah.
It's all good. Vincenzo Natali, thank you so much for joining me, sir.
Pleasure.
Really appreciate it.
An honor. Thank you.